Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
5:08 here on Drive Time with DeRussia. Almost crashed into Laura in the Skyway today. So you were kind of taking your walk.
I was. I haven't seen you since almost a week ago.
Yeah, I know. I took two glamorous days off.
Definitely. Right? Yes.
We were in Chicago. It's college admissions season.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, and I was telling you in the Skyway.
Yes.
So NYU is one of the schools that Seth applied to, and today Seth got put on the wait list at NYU, which is pretty cool.
Right.
But also very annoying because NYU this year has 5,700 spots for freshmen.
Yeah.
They had 120,000 applications.
That just blows me away. I cannot believe that. I mean, how do they really make the cut?
So for 5,700 spots, they'll accept probably 8% is about what they'll end up at.
Yeah.
Which is what sort of Ivy League schools used to be
at. Yes.
But now Ivy League schools are sort of at 2 or 3% acceptance rate.
Wow.
So it's very interesting. Like, it's for those of you out there who might have kids in those high school years, the way we think of certain universities, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even schools that maybe we went to, where you think like, oh, like you could get into that school.
Right. You just assume it.
It's really hard to get into these schools.
Mm-hmm.
And now every college, and we've talked about this on this show, that every college is not feeling the love from the college students.
True.
Right? It's these marquee big time schools. But like Boston University is another school that Seth applied to. 85,000 applications for 3,000 spots.
Gosh. Did you have any idea of this going in?
So we knew that there were certain schools that were like crazy like that. You know, like the, you expect it at the Ivy League schools.
Right.
You expect it at UChicago. Like, I did not expect it at NYU or BU.
Right.
Or those types of schools.
Mm.
It's crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah, it's really, it's very, very interesting. Like Sam, who is 15, and I have been talking about this a lot over the last couple of days, like what's the strategy going to be for him?
Right.
Like I would say, you know, most kids apply to like 10 schools now.
Okay.
And so even kids we know who've had like a 36, which is a perfect ACT score.
Yep.
Have been waitlisted,
mm.
Where you're like, man, if you get the highest score possible, it's a perfect score on the ACT. You would think you're like, oh, you could get into, well.
Maybe not.
And these are kids who, like, all the reality is all of the kids at the top tier have impressive resumes.
Yes.
So you're sort of getting, I don't know, as a parent and a kid, you just need to have the right expectations going in where it's like, man, it's going to be really tough to get into some of those big schools.
And pretty subjective, it sounds like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a coin flip at a certain point, right?
Yeah, right.
Like Seth got into Northeastern.
Mm-hmm.
BU was a weird one where they were like, you're accepted as a transfer student. So go somewhere your freshman year.
And then we'll
and
take
if you,
you
still want to come, we'll take you. And you're like,
interesting.
What do you do with that?
Wow.
Like, I don't know. It's just very, very interesting. But it's a numbers game, right? Like, if you're a college, think of these colleges. And you're like, you're getting 120,000 applications.
That is just crazy.
How do you possibly, how do you even look at, I don't know.
Mm.
But to me, the takeaway, like what I would tell other parents, would be whatever you think you know about applying to college, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever your experience when you were going to school does not apply.
No, that's for sure.
And open your mind to lesser known schools.
Sure.
Because there's still going to be a great education.
Oh, yeah. There's so much out
there.
So
many. Yeah. I mean, it's very interesting. Mm. I got into a bit of a challenge on the highway coming back from Chicago yesterday. We're driving near Rockford. I was in the far right lane, just kind of chugging along. And this guy is coming up on my right. And all of a sudden, I realized that that guy was out of room. He was in a lane where he needed to merge.
Yeah.
And I screwed up. I should have slowed down and let him in.
Yeah.
It was sort of his turn to come in. I messed up. This guy did what you should do, which is give me the middle finger.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, this guy's mad. Like, he merged over, he got over, and then slowed down. And you're like, uh-oh, he's mad at me.
Oh, that makes me so nervous.
I was nervous, Laura.
Yuck, yeah.
So first I get the middle finger, and you're thinking, you're like, how do I communicate to this man?
You go, I'm sorry.
It's on me. Yes. It's my fault.
Right.
We need a signal. We need a signal that someone would understand.
I screwed up. Sorry. Yeah.
Correct.
I wonder what that could be. What could you do?
Yeah. And then what he did on top of it was then he rolled down his window.
Oh, geez.
Stuck his arm out and gave me another middle finger. And then you start thinking, he had North Dakota plates. And I'm trying to memorize the license plate number because I'm worried he's going to shoot me.
Oh, my God.
And all I wanted to do was say, like, it was my fault.
I know.
Like, I get it. I'm sorry.
Oh.
It was nerve-wracking.
That makes me nervous and stressed just hearing about it. I hate that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Mm. It's very nerve-wracking.
Yes.
But I wish there were a way to communicate, like, a signal that would be received, you know? Because I worried, like, if I tried to signal like it was on me or something, he would think I was giving some sort of aggressive signal in response.
You never know how he could respond to whatever you do, yes.
When I was a kid, I remember going to the auto show in Chicago, and there was a concept car that had, a digital scoreboard, like a little display board, so you could push a button and a message would go up. And, of course, for obvious reasons, it would not be a good idea to allow people to put messages on the back of their car.
Uh-oh. Did you get a hold of the message machine?
Well, it was just a scenario where I was thinking, I'm like, this would be useful in this moment to tell this guy, like, if the buttons were only programmed with I'm sorry.
You can just press a button.
My bad.
My bad, yeah.
Right.
That's a good idea.
Chad has been a big proponent of this idea for a very long time, that there should be some kind of message board kind of installation along the bumper where you could quick fire off a message to people.
It's a very, very bad idea.
He asserts that, you know, in this kind of situation, you could calm things down.
No.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of us all realize that the only thing this thing would ever get to use for is to amp the situation up and make it that much worse.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I think for sure people would use that to inflame.
Yeah. They talk about, you know, relatives and various situations.
You'd have
those
to program it
themselves
where you couldn't hack it and you could only put certain.
Yeah, good luck with that. That seems to work real well, doesn't it?
I think if it could come pre-programmed with an I'm sorry, I screwed up, what else? Have a good day, my bad, you know, just something basic like that. Not where you can type in your own messages to, you know.
But as he implied, I mean, that would get hacked in about,
I suppose,
5 nanoseconds.
We just need a universal.
Like a 10-year-old with an iPad
probably,
to hack into it.
You're probably right.
We need a hand signal. One of our texters texted in and said, we need a universal hand sign for I'm sorry.
Yes.
Which I'm sure maybe there's a sign language, but like something that somebody would see from a car in front of you. You know?
How about like, palm to the forehead, like, I'm an idiot.
That would have been good.
Yep, that would have worked.
It was, you know, I felt bad about it.
I know.
And then I was afraid. Then I was mad. Like, I had all the emotions. Like,
yes.
The second, once you, like, no matter how mad you are at somebody else, don't roll down your window and give them the finger.
No, that makes it so much worse.
Yeah, now you're the idiot.
Yeah.
At first, it was me.
Yeah, the whole, anything that's veering into the road rage is not good. It just needs to go away. Just stop it, drive away, and accept that maybe you encountered something that was unfortunate, but yes, you move along. It's not the end of the world.
Former Minnesota Viking Eric Kendricks wrote a bit of a love letter, a goodbye letter to Minnesota.
Nice.
On the Players Tribune, which is this website that's run by a bunch of former athletes, and it lets, you know, supposedly it's the athlete writing this stuff,
mm-hmm,
or their agent, or who knows. Eric's letter to Minnesota was great.
I haven't seen this.
So it was just went online this afternoon, and he talks about his family and his kid, and he'll always have some Minnesotan in him. But there were a couple points in here that I think people should hear.
Okay.
He talked about his first camp down in Mankato, and he was trying to be a leader, and he's a middle linebacker. That's part of your job. So he was trying to call out a play, and he had a play called Casino, but he kept blanking on it. He knew it started with C, and so he's freaking out. He's like, what play am I supposed to call? And so he yells, circus, circus, circus. And everybody looks around like, what in the hell? And the coach, Mike Zimmer at the time, gives him a Zimmer stare.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, what the bleep is circus? And everybody's cracking up, making fun of him. Coach says it's Casino. But he pointed out that on a lot of teams, a rookie mistake like that would not be taken so well.
Really?
Yeah. That you would be abused or hazed or whatever.
Oh.
But that there was something fun about the group that he was with.
That's good.
Which was cool. But what really stuck with me is he talked about Chad Greenway, who, mm-hmm, I know a little bit. And I really like Chad Greenway.
Mm-hmm.
He says, when he got to Minnesota, I knew Chad was the guy, but the Vikings picked me in the second round, and I knew there was some expectation on me to play right away and push him. See, he's getting older and trying.
Okay.
And he says, I think Chad could have gone one of two ways with me. He could have been really stingy with information or told me to get lost, but he didn't. The first camp, he pulled Eric Kendricks aside and said, quote, I'm going to teach you how to take my spot.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And he says, that set me up for the rest of my career.
Isn't that wonderful?
Just thought that was, you know, there's an image of a steely old vet,
mm-hmm,
kind of, you dumb kid trying to. But that wasn't what Chad did with Eric.
Yep.
And I think that's really cool.
That's really neat.
Very transferable lesson, no matter what you do.
Yes.
Like, the reality is someone's going to take your job.
Yep.
And you can choose, like, how you handle
exactly
that, right?
Yep. I love that. That's just a great thing to have in my mind now for the rest of the day. That's wonderful.
Yeah. I thought that was good. So we'll leave you guys with that thought today. How are you going to teach the next person how to, you know, I hope we're not teaching the person to take it tomorrow, but you never know. But you want to set people up for success. Laura, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
521, do rush hour news headlines coming your way in just a minute here on CCO. Tuesday, March 28th, time for the D Rush Hour news headlines. You know, Herberger's closed at Rosedale Center in Roseville in 2018. Finally, signs that there will be a new tenant in this spot. It's the Dick's House of Sport, baby! Not that Dick. Brianna Kelly in the Minneapolis St. Paul Business Journal reporting that the latest concept from the Dick's sporting goods people is likely what's going in. She found a couple of building permits that indicate that's what's happening. Ridgedale in Minnetonka is the third mall nationwide that gets one of these. It's pretty cool, I have to say. Have you been to this thing, Dan? It's neat.
I have not been to this thing.
It's a two-level store. It's Got a 35-foot rock climbing wall. There's batting cages in there, like a putting green, golf hitting bays. And then they got this outdoor turf field. It becomes an ice rink in the winter. So, like, you could try out your shoes and go run around the track or whatever. It's kind of cool. A couple clothing retailers, Forever 21, Ragstock, which we used to call the Rag Store. Restaurants, Big Bowl, among the tenants displaced by this project earlier in March. So we don't know exactly what's going to go on with all of that. Rosedale not saying much other than construction is starting in March for a future tenant that'll open in winter of 2024. Widely regarded as one of the best rock venues in the world, First Avenue is celebrating another side of its storied past for its 53rd anniversary this week. First Avenue is a pretty great dance club, too. Oh, yeah. Chris Riemenschneider writing in the Star Tribune about this Saturday's Danceteria Through the Decades party. DJ Peter Lansky says it's got great sound, great staff, tons of character. Peter, known as Soviet Panda, quoted in Chris's great story in the Star Tribune. Six DJs come to the main room Saturday. First Avenue's first name. Do you know the original name of First Avenue? The Depot, opened on April 3rd, 1970. Six DJs, each representing one decade. Roy Freedom will start with the 70s. Lizzo's DJ and hype woman, Sophia Rice, for the 2010s. DJ Keezy, hip-hop DJ, for the 2020s. Pretty cool stuff. Should be good this weekend. As demolition crews get ready to make room for downtown St. Paul's long-awaited Pedro Park, there is finally a final park design. Vote for Pedro Park, landscape architect with St. Paul Park and Rec, announced they've completed the design process. They've made available this kind of bird's eye view rendering with 26 different sketches of kind of, you know, sketched characters. Not sketch characters, but you get the idea. They had three conceptual designs. The city floated in February, chose one. It's going to be a wedge-shaped green, so it's just cool to have a nice park in downtown St. Paul, 10th and Robert. Fred Mello reporting on this in the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com. City put fencing around it. They got to demolish the public safety annex building, which has been vacant since 2018. It was the Pedro family that donated its luggage store to the city in 2009, and the expectation was the city would build a park within 5 years. They knocked that building down in 2011, but they've never been able to kind of get the funding and get their act together to get this going. Interesting story in Twin Cities Business Magazine online about how the Minneapolis Parks Board hires so many young people to work over the summer. Seems plenty of people want to work for the park system. They say they're having no trouble finding about 900 temporary young workers for the summer. Park Board has 180 different properties. They say they're the largest employer of youth in the city, 14 to 24-year-olds. For a lot of them, of course, the park system is their first job. But the Park Board, one of the hiring managers, says they use a lot of youth programs. So Teen Teamworks is an employment and training initiative for kids 14 to 18. It's part of the park. It used to be funded by a grant, but now the Park Board pays for it. And that helps them recruit. They start in March and do it through the spring, so they're ready to rock in June. Pretty cool stuff. 47 different rec centers, so really the fabric of the community in the summer. And a lot of people in the community are able just to walk to work, which is good. Teen employment, by the way, according to the Minneapolis-St. Paul Business Journal, is essentially back to pre-pandemic levels. In July of 2019, 38.4% of Minnesota teens were employed. It fell to 32% during 2020, but as of July, it's back at 38.4%. So young people are getting jobs. 531, Alan Horton has a job as the voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves. He'll talk about, boy, we're getting down to it, crunch time. So let's talk to Alan about the excitement over the Timberwolves. A couple of huge wins. We'll get into it next on Drive Time.
baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. We'll be right back.